Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The Bush caucus is back. Rural legislators in Alaska are pushing back against the concentrated political power of the state's urban areas. 12 members of Alaska's House of Representatives in both parties have organized under the chairmanship of Bryce Edgman, a Democrat who represents Dillingham. Sitka Democrat Jonathan Kreese Tompkins has joined up in the first month of the session, the Republican agenda on issues like oil tax reform, cruise ship wastewater standards, and school vouchers have been moving at lightning speed. Kreese Tompkins says sitting down with other legislators outside the rail belt has proved to be a refreshing change.
That was probably one of the more enjoyable and exciting meetings I've had in a Capitol building thus far, to have that group of 12 legislators from common background, both parties, finding a lot of common issues to work on.
Kreese Tompkins says the Bush caucus has been working on priorities. Since coastal communities are prevalent in the group, restoring Alaska's coastal zone management program is high on the list. Other issues include concerns over school vouchers, local control of charter schools, trawl bycatch, and the Federal Fisheries Observer Program that now includes the small boat fleet. One area where the Bush caucus is not aligned is on the governor's proposed oil tax reform. Kreese Tompkins says only that he believes most members of the caucus are skeptical of the idea.
Every member of the Democratic minority, I can say with some certainty, is going to vote against an oil tax giveaway, significant tax cuts for oil companies with nothing in return. I think that can be said with some certainty. There are going to be a number of Republicans in both the House and Senate that will do the same. The question is how many and what kind of modifications are made to the bill through the committee process, because there's bipartisan concern that too much is being given away with too little coming back in return.
Kreese Tompkins says the Bush caucus will release a full outline of its priorities in the near future. Some bills have already passed, despite the objections of Kreese Tompkins and others concerned with coastal issues. House Bill 80, which relaxes wastewater standards for cruise ships, is already on the governor's desk. Kreese Tompkins says this pace is too fast, even for a 90-day session.
Clinkett and Haida Central Council wasn't able to get out the resolution on the cruise ship bill until the morning it came to the House floor. So I was barely able to speak to it, and certainly Clinkett and Haida didn't have the opportunity to raise concerns when it was in committee. UFA, United Fishermen of Alaska, didn't have the opportunity to raise that group's concerns with the cruise ship bill until it had left the House. So I think the process is it's a little too fast, in that groups and constituencies that are incredibly affected by some of these pieces of legislation simply don't have the time to organize and react and be able to speak their piece.
Sitka Representative Jonathan Kreese Tompkins is a member of the recently reorganized Bush caucus in the Alaska Legislature. To see a full roster of the group, visit the website kcaw.org. Alaska officials say Board Chairman Albert Kukesh, or rather Sea Alaska officials, say Board Chairman Albert Kukesh is making slow but steady progress as he recovers from a recent heart attack. The Juneau-based Regional Native Corporation posted an online update last Friday afternoon. It says Kukesh has become more awake and alert during the past 48 hours and has been able to communicate with his family. Sea Alaska says his strength is slowly returning. Providence Alaska Medical Center on Friday upgraded his condition from critical to serious. Kukesh served 16 years in the State House and Senate. The Tlingit leader from Angoon also co-chairs the Alaska Federation of Natives. Southeast crabbers are out harvesting Tanner and Golden King Crab. Both seasons opened on February 17th. Tanner boats get 6 days to fish in the most popular core areas and a total of 11 days in the non-core areas. The Tanner crab stocks are on the upswing in Southeast, according to Alaska Department of Fish and Game's annual survey, which is conducted each fall. Joe Stratman is lead crab biologist for the region.
Our estimate of mature male abundance, mature male biomass, was 4.3 million pounds. So that was up from the 3.1 million pounds that we estimated in 2011. And The year before that, in 2010, our estimate was 2.9 million pounds. So we are seeing tanner stocks in the region abundance trending up.
54 permit holders registered to fish for tanner crab this year. Those limited entry boats, which fish with large crab pots, land most of the catch every year. A very small portion comes from fishermen in the open entry ringnet fishery. 24 boats are registered to do that this year. Participation was a little lower last year, and the fleet landed a total of 1.1 million pounds, which was the largest tanner harvest in the past 11 seasons. It was worth around $3 a pound, or about $3 million total on the docks. Golden king crab fishermen get a total of 590,000 pounds to catch this year. That's down about 6% from last year. Golden crab is managed differently than tanner. Instead of setting a season length, state biologists set a separate guideline harvest level, or GHL, for each of the seven golden crab areas. The GHL is based on data from past fisheries. During the fishery, the crabbers call in their catches, and managers shut each area one at a time as its GHL is reached. That can be a matter of weeks or more than a month, depending on the area. The GHLs for the northern Icy Strait and North Stevens Pass areas are down substantially from last year. Catch rates have been declining in those areas, according to Stratman. However, the story is a bit different for the other four golden crab areas known as East Central, Mid Chatham Strait, Lower Chatham Strait, and Southern. Stratman says the department has been seeing more stable catch rates and other positive data in those areas in recent years. Three of the four saw small increases in their GHLs this year. 38 boats are registered to fish golden crab this season. Last year, golden crab sold for an average of around $8 a pound. The 600,000-pound harvest was worth a total of $4.7 million to the fleet. Most rural communities use diesel generators to create electrical power. But fuel for that is expensive, so they're trying out alternatives. Yakutat on the eastern Gulf of Alaska wants wave power. A project in the works for several years just won a key permit, but it still faces substantial barriers. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
How big are those waves in Yakutat? Just ask a surfer.
Just awesome. That's beautiful.
Enthusiasts from around the world have traveled to Yakutat's remote beaches to catch a wave in wetsuits. Now the community, hundreds of miles away from the nearest grid, wants to make another use of that power.
If we're able to convert that energy that's pounding onto our shores and displace diesel, the state's going to save a lot of money.
Chris Rose is the founder and executive director of REAP, the Renewable Alaska Energy Project.
We're a place that makes sense to test this stuff because we have higher energy costs than a lot of other places.
The bottom line is we have to get away from diesel.
Skip Ryman is manager of the Yakutat Borough, about halfway between Juneau and Cordova. He says the municipal power plant sells electricity for about 57 cents a kilowatt hour. The state's power cost equalization program halves the residential price, but still,
people are finding that anywhere from 45 to 60% of their disposable income has been going for utilities and home heating. This, in turn, is hurting retailers. We've been losing families, losing kids in the school system, and essentially just sending the community into a bit of a death spiral.
Yakutat has been interested in wave energy for some time. A study completed about 4 years ago recommended a system installed near the shore rather than farther out into the ocean.
The device that we're working on is called a oscillating waves surge converter.
Cliff Gowdy is senior engineer for Massachusetts-based Resolute Marine Energy.
That's sort of a fancy word for a paddle that sits on the bottom, that's hinged at the bottom, the hinge being parallel to the shoreline. And so as the surge of the waves pass over the top, the paddle gets pushed towards the beach and then back and forth.
The company is working with federal, state, and local officials to research and fund the Yakutat project. It will use Resolute's surge wave energy converter, which uses hydraulic pumps to power a generator. The device has been tested off the North Carolina coast, but it doesn't have a track record. Neither does its competitors.
In terms of commercial arrays of wave energy devices, they currently don't exist anywhere in the world.
Oregon State University's Belinda Batten is director of the Northwest National Marine Renewable Energy Center. She says Scotland has taken the lead, testing a number of different devices and systems at a major research facility.
Until we really get the sort of small arrays of devices in and producing energy over some time where we learn operating and maintenance costs, reliability, sustainability, and those kinds of things, it'll be tough to call the winners.
Resolute Marine Energy was recently granted a preliminary permit allowing more research and planning, but it still must clear other regulatory hurdles. The company and its partners also need to address environmental impacts and conflicts with other users of the area. There's the surfers, of course. Borough Manager Ryman says that's not all.
It is an area used by trawlers. You have whale migration offshore. There's some concern about the noise these might be making and how that might interfere with whale migrations.
An Oregon wave energy proposal has drawn opposition from crabbers and recreational boaters. Yakutat's project is being designed to meet the community's power needs for much of the year. Ryman says diesel generators would fill the gap when needed, especially when the local fish processor operates. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Juneau.
You can read more about the Yakutat Wave Project through links posted on our website. You can also see photos of the beach and the town by going to kcaw.org. And at about 30 seconds past the hour of 8 o'clock, that's it for Raven News for this hour. A quick check with our weather. Mostly cloudy today with some scattered snow showers this morning and scattered rain showers expected by the afternoon. Highs around 42, southeast winds at about 10 miles an hour. Current conditions, we've got east winds at 8 miles an hour, 36 degrees on the thermometer and 10 miles visibility. There's some nice blue sky out there. Hope you get a chance to go out and enjoy that today. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.